The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Not if you believe it's murder. You know, that's why I don't understand the 15-week thing. Or the Trump's plan is, let's leave it to the states. You mean, so killing babies is okay in some states? Like, I can respect the absolutist position. I really can. I scold the left on when they say, oh, you know what? They just hate women. People who aren't pro-life, they're pro-choice. They don't hate women. They just made that up. They think it's murder. And it kind of is. I'm just okay with that. I am. I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world. I'm sorry, we won't miss you. That's my position on it. What?
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was a TV host and self-admitted former Catholic and now atheist, Bill Maher. In some respect, I have to respect him. And you're probably saying, how could you respect what he says? I don't respect what he says. I got to respect his honesty. And he's right. I can't imagine those who think that abortion is justified, you know, or it's acceptable. They play these word games. They call it reproductive justice. They talk about how Republicans hate women. And he's right. He says they don't hate women. I mean, it's murder. And Bill's saying, just take ownership for it. Say, yeah, we know it's murder. We just want it. It's murder. We want it. Pray for Bill Maher. That's for sure. Abortion is murder. He admitted it. And he says he's okay with it. That line that he threw out there, though, there are 8 billion people in the world and no one's going to miss that murdered child. That's not true, Bill. And my heart goes out to anyone who's lost a child through miscarriage, who's made the mistake of abortion. Child was created in the image and likeness of God. It has a dignity and an inherent worth. My heart goes out to any mother who suffered those wounds. So, you know, Princeton professor Robert George, who I have the utmost respect for, he's one of the most eloquent men that I put on this radio program. He wrote on X, he said, extraordinary candor, shocking and indeed chilling. He's referring, of course, to Maher. To be sure that Bill Maher acknowledges that abortion is, or kind of is, murder and endorses it anyway. Professor George says, look, he's no science denier. He's willing to look at the brutal reality of what abortion is right in the face of it, and he owns it. And I'm with Professor George on that. Maybe that kind of candor will make some Catholics wake up. There's a new poll that just came out from Gallup, and it reveals that 39% of Catholics that they surveyed say that abortion should be legal in most cases, and another 22% it should be legal in all cases. And there's a little more than 6 out of every 10 Catholics that agree. I don't know how that can be. How can 6 out of 10 Catholics, how can they acknowledge that it's a human life and yet be open to abortion? Hey, Father. Father Rocky's just walking in.
I'm overhearing you.
Come on in. Sit down.
What's the question?
It's not a question. We're just talking. Well, first of all, I don't know if you're familiar. You know Bill Morris?
Philip Morris.
Do you know who Bill Maher is?
No, Philip Morris, they used to make cigarettes.
Talking a little bit about Bill Maher, who's an avowed atheist. He was a former Catholic and a man who, for a long time, practiced the faith, left it, and is called, we're talking about the issue of life here. He basically has come out and says, you know what, let's call it for what it is. It is murder, but I'm for it. There was a survey that was just done, too, and it said that more than 6 out of 10 Catholics... Also,
but hold on a second.
Go ahead.
That's 6 out of 10 people who identify themselves as
Catholics? No, that's right. We don't know whether they're practicing or not. That's always a caveat. If you're not
practicing Catholic faith, if you're not going to Mass on Sundays and not going to confession on a regular basis, it's very easily to get confused and overwhelmed by the environment, right? So I know how these polls come out and all that. I was at a Mass, I think it was Holy Thursday, down St. Mary of the Angels. The nice thing about it is I didn't have to organize it. I just have to show up as a concelebrant. And Father John Weiss got up there in the pulpit, and he said, now there's a poll out there saying 67% of Catholics don't believe in the real presence. And he asked everyone there, he said, how many of you believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ? They all raised their hands. And he said, okay, where are the other 67%?
Wow.
Right. So the people who go to Mass, they believe. Those, you know, and we have friends and relatives who identify as Catholics because they got baptized, but they don't go to church. They've never studied the catechism. They don't go to confession or practice, so it's not going to have a hold on them, right?
Yeah. So what do you make, Father? What's your take on
the... And I was just minding all my business. I was just walking by.
But Katie Hobbs, who's the governor of Arizona, you know, Xavier Becerra, the head of the HHSS, Catholics. These are both, you know.
They're baptized Catholics, right?
Biden.
Yeah, but did they really practice? You know, this is what the Archbishop of Washington, D.C. said about our president. He said he's a cafeteria Catholic, right, which is kind of pick and choose. All right, we all understand what that means. That's why in the Rosary and the Eden we say we pray for cafeteria Catholics that they eat their vegetables.
We just did it. We just did a segment a minute ago, and Dr. Craig Kraft will be joining me in a minute.
These are Catholics who haven't listened to Relevant Radio. Yeah. That's the whole problem. They don't have the Relevant Radio app.
That's true.
All right, if all these so-called people who identify as Catholics had the Relevant Radio app and listen to your show and join us for Family Rosary across America, they'd have a change of opinion on these things. Right. So that's why for all of our listeners, the best thing you can do is share the app today, get a bumper sticker for your car, tell everybody about it, come to the Family Rosary across America. Because many times people have had bad example. They haven't had good examples, right? I was very fortunate. I had a very good example of my parents, other people I met in my life. I'm telling you, if I had not encountered Opus Dei when I was a kid, I'd either be dead or in jail. I'm just saying, I grew up in the 70s. It was crazy, right? But I got exposed to people who gave me good example, good formation, good books, good learning, all the rest.
Yeah. Hey, on a totally separate note outside of this, I hear there's only 10 seats available for your trip.
For Poland. 10
so
left.
You want to talk about that and let people know how they can get plugged in?
Yeah, there's a pilgrimage to Poland.
I think that's the number I heard.
Yeah, I think 10.
Don't hold me to it.
Right? But they're big seats. Yeah. You know, well, you maybe could put two in a purse. All right. I've never been to Poland. Yeah. All right. Chicago is the second largest Polish city in the world. I grew up here. The bishop ordained me as a priest. He was a Polish bishop. He was living in Rome at the time, right?
Yeah.
And it's a place of John Paul II, of St. Faustina. We've got a first-class relic of St. Faustina in our altar here. Of St. Maximilian Kolbe, of Our Lady Czeskahova, and... Yeah. You know, long history of Catholicism there. And it's in between Russia and Germany and Estonia and Latvia and all of that, right? A lot of history going on
Beautiful country.
And then we go to the Czech Republic to visit the Infant Child of Prague, right? We had the Infant Child of Prague, at least a copy of it, in my home on the mantle. And I remember as a kid saying to Mom, what's that? Who's that? That's the Infant Child of Prague. So, well, why do we have it? He said, well, if you have it in your house, you never go hungry. Mm. And I said, wow. Well, why don't we have two then? All right. And we never went hungry.
I love it.
And she was a great baker. Oh, man. Chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. You're gonna unreal.
You're gonna love your trip. I hope people will check it. What's the best way to get connected to it?
RelevantRadio.com/Poland?
I think it's Poland, yeah.
I bet. I don't think it'd be /France.
Also, check out the app. It's another great way
to check it out. Download it. And then, you know, when you're going to sleep at night, listen to the Saints podcast. Yeah. Every day there's a 10-minute. It's really well done.
Yeah. Right? I heard somebody say, you know, rather than reading their kids a story, they play the podcast. It's 10 minutes. Kids are excited about it. The next day they tune in.
And it's free.
It goes on.
Do you know why it's free? Because Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. And then we have pledge drives every 3 months, and people weigh in. They help us out. And I tell people, even if we were swimming in money, we'd still do pledge drives every 3 months because it gives the people a chance to raise their hand and validate what we're doing. And you actually help people by inviting them to make a sacrifice. You really do.
We got another pledge drive coming up in three weeks. It'll be here. It feels like we just did one. It goes so quickly.
Yeah. But I mean, I hear these things out there, right? So that's the great task ahead of us is evangelization and giving doctrine. Many times people have not heard. They've been given poor information. They've been given bad example. They haven't really thought it through.
Right? I think it brings me back to what we were talking about. That's why so many people think that abortion is okay or so many other problems in the culture.
I think people do that kind of as a last resort. They're stuck in a hard position. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel sorry for people in this kind of situation. And what we have to do is come up with better alternatives for people, support, right? Women need to be supported. Families need to be supported. Yeah.
I'm grateful for the memorare, which prays for an end to abortion. We saw Dobbs' decision as a result of that, the fall of Roe, and we're going to win the battle in the end.
Hey, Walk to Mary's coming up.
Yep.
The first Saturday of May, Right. You've been there before. I think you guys are coming.
Father, I've been there. I'm going to be there again.
Yeah. I never
I'm
missed it.
I'm going to put a few more miles. You do 21 right. miles. I'm not going to do that many.
Yeah. No, I have to. I'm going to be bringing 30,000 prayer intentions in my backpack. So go to our website. You can type in your prayer intentions. They're going to bring them. Got to get them in by the day before. So I tell people, if you want a house, if you want a spouse, if you want a baby, don't say maybe. Come to the Walk to Marry. There's Maggie. She's smiling. She knows all about it.
I love it.
That's where she met her spouse. And now she's going to have a baby. And they got a house. Look at that.
Well,
if you want a liver, Mary delivers.
There you go.
Right?
I love it. Well, Father, thank you for being here. Dr. Craig Kraft is standing by. I'm going to jump over to him as well.
But all right.
You are always a delight to talk to.
Great to be with you.
Stop at any time. I
thank
appreciate you,
very
you
much.
Being here.
Great.
Thanks for
thank being
here. We'll walk to Mary together. It's Father Rocky. Check out the Pilgrimage to Poland, the Family Rosary Across America tonight at 7 p.m. Central for whatever your prayer intention is. And we should be praying for our country and for life. I want to welcome to the conversation Dr. Kenneth Craycraft. Great to have him back here with us. He is a licensed attorney, and of course, he is the James J. Gardner Family Chair of Moral Theology at Mount St. Mary Seminary and School of Theology in Cincinnati. And if you're just joining me, we were talking just before Father Rocky came in a little bit just about the overwhelming and really stunning embracement of a culture of death in our country, where you even have prominent Catholics like Xavier Becerra, Joe Biden is another classic one, and so many others. We had Bill Maher, former Catholic, Katie Dobbs, or Hobbs, I should say, from Arizona, all willing to accept this. And I thought I'd bring on a good moral theologian to give us some perspective on that. Doctor, thank you for your time. Good afternoon.
Oh, good to be here. Thanks for having me on, Drew. Well, I appreciate nice to be with you again.
Appreciate your patience. It's always good to talk with you. Yeah, you know, I don't know if you were tuned in when we were playing Bill Maher's comments about, you know, he knows abortion is murder. And he's like, stop playing war games. Let's just call it for what it is. And he says, I'm okay with it. Yeah, I know it is. And that's the case. This issue is a dominant one in the presidential campaign. I don't think it's going to be the number one issue, but it'll probably be number two or three in the rankings. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing and what's happening here? I mean, I find it stunning that so many people are so willing to call themselves Catholic and yet totally disconnect from this issue morally.
Yeah, well, he kind of said the quiet part out loud, didn't he, as they say. And I agree with you, what you said in the first segment of the show. There's a certain way in which I have a grudging admiration for his honesty in that. Here's what I think is going on, Drew, and this is something that I've argued in my columns in various places and in my new book as well, and that is, if we reduce morality to private choices, if morality is nothing other than the private individual choice of the individual expressed in what we sometimes call possessive rights, then the choice that we make is really not relevant to the moral judgment. The only moral judgment is how relatively uninhibited we are in making the choice. And I think that's a large part of what's going on here. And I know you mentioned just with Father Rocky, you mentioned Joe Biden and you mentioned Javier Becerra, both of whom are baptized Catholics and yet who are not just pro-choice, but really pro-choice crusaders, or I should say, of course, pro-abortion crusaders. Well, why is that? Well, it's because their lives have been formed not by Catholic moral thought, but by the liberal politics that we breathe in the air. And I think that's what's going on in the broader culture as well. So there's a sense in which both of them are not quote children of the church, right? Their lives have not been formed by the church or by Catholic theology, but by the liberal political culture in which they live. And that's the case with so many Catholics. And so you have some Catholics who people identify as Catholic, I should say, and who are baptized Catholics, to be fair, for whom the Catholic teaching on abortion, as with everything else, might be a nice suggestion, but certainly doesn't have any purchase on our lives. And so, therefore, we make up our own moral code as we go along without any recourse to the church. And I think with Bill Maher, it's even more stark because, I mean, he himself was baptized Catholic. He's not a practicing Catholic, but his mother is Jewish. She's a Jewish immigrant from Hungary. And for him so cavalierly to say, we have 8 billion people, we don't need another one, I won't miss you, it's a little bit chilling, isn't it? For someone who is we have ethnically Jewish, who has a Jewish mother, to just dismiss the what he regards as the murder of innocent human beings is a little bit shocking, even though, as I say, there's a sort of backward admiration, at least, for that he's honest about it.
Yeah, so what does that stark admission reveal about, I don't know, broader cultural attitudes towards life and human dignity, yeah, right now? Because I was sharing that stat before Father walked in, 6 in 10 Catholics think it's okay. Well, they're not truly in communion with the church. So to his point, I think he's right. I mean, it's hard to call them Catholics. Joe Biden called himself Catholic, but I would question, and you know, whether or not he's in communion with the church on the issue of life, right? And there's a lot of those issues. But overall, most Americans seem to want this. What's it say about the cultural attitudes towards life and human dignity?
Well, life is cheapened, right? I mean, there's a sense in which we don't have a respect for the dignity of life. And I will say this, a couple of things. First of all, about that Pew survey. The Pew survey, sociologists call, as opposed to being Methodist or Lutheran or Baptist or raised that way, they refer to being Catholic as a sticky social identification. So, in other words, let's say you do that poll and you poll 4 people, and none of those people have been to church in 30 years. One was raised Catholic, one was Baptist, one was raised Methodist, and one was raised Lutheran. If you ask the Baptist, Methodist, and Lutheran, what's your religious identification, they're more likely to say none. Mm-hmm. If you ask the Catholic, who like them has not been to church in 30 years, he'll still say Catholic. Hmm. And that's part of the reason that the poll skews that way. If you ask a controlling question, which the Pew poll did, how often you go to Mass, then the numbers, they're not great. In terms of people responding in a way that's consistent with church teaching, but they're better than if you don't ask that question, do you go to weekly Mass? So that single question of whether you're a practicing Catholic. Now, on the broader issue, I think that whenever I can find a chance to say something nice and positive about what comes out of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of Faith or from Pope Francis, I never pass up the opportunity to do so. And last week, the DDF issued a really good document called Dignitatis Infinita. One can quibble with the title and so forth. But one of the things that it does is it talks about how dignity has been lost. And so what the first part of the document does is it defines what it calls various aspects of dignity, including what it calls ontological dignity, moral dignity, social dignity. And then it goes on to list and several headers, offenses against dignity. And one of those offenses against dignity, of course, is abortion and its sort of related culture of death issue, euthanasia. And that really is it, Drew. Take Bill Maher's comment again. We have 8 billion people on the planet. Well, if you say we have 8 billion people on the planet, and a lot of people are under this delusion that the planet is overcrowded and that populations are bursting, which is, of course, false, but it still instills a sense of cheapening of life. But that cheapening of life, Drew, is rooted in a diminution of the dignity of the human person. And we need to call as Catholics, and we need to speak the language of dignity, not the language of individual rights and possessions and claims against everyone. We need to start speaking the language of dignity, and not in the way that the secularist does it, but rather in the dignity that cannot be compromised, that as the DDF said last week, it has nothing to do with one's relative ability, whether it be a cognitive ability, it has nothing to do with one's health. Dignity can't be compromised, and that's what we have to affirm. And until we do that, we're going to keep going down this road. And my fear is that many Catholics have simply not been educated in the dignity of the human person and really don't have a good sense of that.
I think 2 things are to play. I mean, one, the media is very powerful, right? And I think they're a contributing factor to this. Secondly, absolutely, I think you're right. I think there's a real crisis in education when it comes to dignity of the human person. So, I mean, how's that remedied? Is it up to the church to do more from the pulpit? That's not necessarily the place that they should do this, or is it? I mean, how can the church better educate or get the Catholics in this country to better understand and embrace this truth?
Well, you know, St. John Paul II in Familiaris Consortio said that the family is the first church. And it doesn't matter how articulate the priest is in his homily on Sunday. It doesn't matter how fulsome and how energetic adult formation is. If it doesn't start in the family, if the family is not inculcating the notions of Catholic moral theology in the church with children before they ever step foot outside into a schoolroom, then it's not lost necessarily, but you're behind the eight ball. And that's really where it's got to begin. Yes, indeed. I don't have any doubt that in some cases, priests and even under their ordinaries who really aren't convicted by the issue themselves, sometimes do not take the initiative in that. But it's not going to matter, Drew, if people are not formed in their family. That's the first church. That's the first place that we learn the morality of the church. And if we're not teaching it to our children, then our children themselves are already behind and are going to be more open and prone to these cultural forces that teach them the kind of selfishness that diminishes the dignity of human life. And of course, and as you say, you know, politics is a teacher. We learn, politics teaches us. And in the United States, our politics is one of individualism, and it's one of, you know, claims against one another. And we can, there's a word for that, and that word is selfishness. Mm-hmm. And we need to learn selflessness. Need to learn dignity, and we need to learn the solidarity of all human people. And until we revive that kind of language and thinking, we're going to have Catholics responding either indifferently to the issue of abortion or basically call themselves pro-abortion.
Well, let me open the phones too. I only have Dr. Kenneth Craycraft for a few minutes. You are more than welcome to join us if you'd like. Here's the number to get right in, 888-914-9149. I've been following a lot of different stories. Pew Research came out saying 6 in 10 Catholics say abortion is, they were saying that it's okay, acceptable, if you will. Bill Maher, you know, he says, you know, let's call it for what it is. As the doctor pointed out, he said that, he said what everybody's thinking quietly, that abortion is murder, but he's for it. Right. We've got the Arizona governor, Joe Biden, Javier Becerra. We've got Robert F. Kennedy, who's running for office. We even got President Trump now, who's drew it, you know, say, oh, it's up to the states. He's come back to the 15-week time. Either you're pro-life or you're not. Either you believe that life has an inherent dignity from the moment of conception, or you don't. Otherwise, I think you're kind of all on the same page. Pew Research, 6 in 10, say Catholics say abortion should be legal. You can get in 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, and I'll take your calls in a moment. Doctor, the other thing, other aspect of this conversation I think is very telling about where we are. You know, we live in a culture right now where everything is expendable. Right. And you know, Mother Teresa, she once said the greatest destroyer of peace is abortion. And we see that manifesting in the culture at large. We have no wars brewing, if you will. But even on a more personal level, the fact that Mars says some lives might be expendable due to societal or economic conditions, that's a very utilitarian approach to human life. And
that's exactly right.
I think it's so pervasive in our culture. Give me your take on not only that how expendable life is in the eyes of most Americans, but also the fruit of it. And I think the fruit of abortion is war.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, Drew. You know, a friend of mine, my good friend Charlie Camozzi, who teaches medical ethics at Creighton University, has written a book called Against Throwaway Culture, in which he develops that idea very much. But you're exactly right, this throwaway culture. And when we think about a throwaway culture, that throwaway culture extends to the way that we treat human beings. And let me especially emphasize what you said about the utilitarian aspect of thinking about children and having children solely in terms of economics. As you know, I've got a new book out called Citizens Yet Strangers, which challenges Catholics to live more authentically and speak more authentically. I have my chapter on the family in that takes on this issue exactly the way you framed it, Drew. And what I say is that when we think about children and we think about abortion, or we think about the other end of life, that when people are old or injured or ill, that we can't be driven, our choices and our decisions can't be driven solely by economic factors, and more importantly, we don't drive our moral decisions by economic factors. Rather, we have to drive the economic factors and the economics of the issue by our moral decisions. The morality comes first. We have to make the economics fit the morality, not the morality fit the economics. And in large part in America, we have that exactly backwards. So we start with the economic considerations, and then we say, well, if a woman, it would be stressful, or if it would cause some kind of economic concern, then we kill the old people or we kill the unborn people. And you are exactly right. That smacks of utilitarianism, which is one of the moral doctrines that is most repugnant to Catholic moral theology. We have to begin with the dignity of the human person. We have to begin with an understanding that economics is driven by morality, not morality by economics. And that itself would yield a very different way of considering the problem of abortion, as well as contraception for that matter, but and euthanasia and other matters as well related to life issues.
I think such a great point. I want to promote your book too. Again, so if how can people get it? And what's the title of it if they want to dive into that?
The title of the book is Citizens Yet Strangers, Living Authentically Catholic in a Divided America, and it's available at Amazon.com or at osvbooks.com. And I discuss that very point.
A must read for these times. I take a look at the moral call to action right now, and we need a consistent life ethic that values all human beings, regardless of their circumstances, yes. Right? Or their conception.
Absolutely.
Or the societal pressures that are at play. We're at such a pivotal moment, I think, in this country's future. I know you only have a moment left to go. Let me sneak in a real quick call for you. Deacon Tom is in Aurora, sure. Illinois. Deacon Tom, hi, you're on with Dr. Craycraft.
Hey, wanted to make the comment that I think so many of these people who are supporting abortion don't realize that they jeopardize their eternal salvation unless there's repentance.
Well, it doesn't get any more clear than that, does it, Doctor?
No, it does not. That's exactly right. And these are matters of grave importance. And just to make the point a little bit finer, we have to understand how our moral choices don't just affect the objects that we move with our choices or the things that we accomplish with our choices. We have to take into consideration what our moral choices do to us, what they do to our soul, how they affect the development of our own moral lives. And the deacon is exactly correct. That's a primary consideration.
Well, I know you got to run. I'm very grateful for your time today. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Drew.
Let's do it again.
We'll do it again.
We've only scratched the surface. I want to talk to you about the candidates, too, that are running in their positions. So we'll dive into it maybe next week or so. Thanks, Doc.
Okay, sounds good.
That's Dr. Kenneth Craycraft. Check out his book. I'm telling you, if you're frustrated by what you're seeing here, that is a great read for you. I'm going to take a very short pause, but when we come back, and I try to give you a look at life you're not going to find anywhere else. So it's such a diverse series of issues that I try to bring to you on a daily basis here. Speaking of life, and this is a great follow-up perhaps to the conversation we just had, there is a big rise right now in young adults undergoing permanent sterilization. We're seeing a spike after the Dobbs decision. Well, why is that? And what's the rationale behind that? You got to listen to this. I'll break it down for you right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This is your last chance to accompany Father Rocky on a Relevant Radio pilgrimage to Poland and Prague in September. Very limited spots are available. Departing from Chicago and San Francisco airports only, reserve your spots now at relevantradio.com/Poland. That's relevantradio.com/Poland.
You know, abortion is the sacrament of the diabolical underworld. The demonic world loves abortion because this is like such an offense to God, and it's an innocent life sacrificed on the altar of human hedonic pleasure. And it's such an offense, isn't it? And you see that in the really wicked corners of our political climate, how people cling to that cause like a religion. It's the sacrament of their false religion. Isn't that sick?
It is.
And the way they speak about it is with that same kind of religious devotion, diabolical religious devotion. It's the sacrament of the demonic underworld. It's their only sacrament. They have to have it.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was a Norbertine exorcist. His name was Ambrose Christie. He had a conversation with Lila Rose, and I had an opportunity to listen to about 6 minutes of it. It was pretty powerful stuff. And Maggie, that's a great rejoin. No doubt. It is, without question, spiritual, the very heart of all this.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I I saw one of President Biden tweets a lot, or at least the intern who works for President Biden. Right. It's definitely not Joe Biden, but tweets a lot about a woman's reproductive rights. And it was, I don't know, last week, I think he tweeted something that said something along the lines of, I will fight like hell to preserve a woman's right to choose. And I'm sorry, Drew, from the show's Twitter account, I responded to that and I said, you already do fight like hell.
Yeah, no kidding. In fact, we just got an email in from Christine Ringer. Thank you for emailing. I just saw this as I was getting ready for Dr. John Littell. She says, hey, I just saw this one from the Biden campaign. You talk about the tweets that go out. She says, this is a complete lie. They have an ad about a woman 18 weeks pregnant whose membrane ruptures at 18 weeks. It's emotional. Really shows medical malpractice, not the result of the repeal of Roe. Can you expose the truth? Well, Dr. John Littell will be joining me. I want to get his take on this as well. But let me fill you in on what we're going to talk about as well. And, before the Dobbs decision was handed down, small numbers of both men and women, they were getting sterilized. And I came across this report. And I thought Dr. Littell would be the best person to talk about this. He wrote a book on women's health. It's called The Hidden Truth, Deception in Women's Healthcare. You can find it at his website, johnlittellmd.com. So when I saw this story, they said that, you know, after Dobbs was decided, the numbers for sterilizations exploded, right? Small numbers, men and women before Dobbs, nearly three times as many women getting it done than men. After Dobbs, those numbers now, 19 times as many women have been sterilized as before, 27 times as many men have had it done to them, and women are now twice as likely as men to get it done. So here's what I mean by young people's minds are being horribly infected by this, and they are. A lot of people seem to think that they're able to have sex, you know, whenever they want without any consequence, you know, without having a child. And if you can't have an abortion as a backup for birth control failure, you might as well just get completely sterilized, and that's the mindset. So we're witnessing today in our culture an anti-child mentality. Abby Johnson posted a photo of a chalkboard sign outside of a restaurant, and this chalkboard sign was one of the most disturbing things I've ever heard of. You know what the sign said? Pet friendly, child free. You talk about how backwards we have things in our culture today. You know, the other thing you probably know, you ever hear couples on social media proclaiming themselves as dinks, D-I-N-K-S? I'm a dink. They're double income, no kids. That's what a dink stands for. And that's the message that they're telling the world. I mean, children, they look at like they're a burden today, and it's a deception. It is a modern day deception. No wonder people are afraid to have kids. No wonder sterilization rates are up. I'm joined right now by Dr. John Littell. Doctor, good to have you with me. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hey, Drew. This is I'm sitting here in the shade in my car after going to the gym, and I'm just astounded by the willingness of women, especially in this country, to undergo a procedure without even the benefit of informed consent. Mm. Drew, you know, I used to pride myself on doing vasectomies. We haven't talked about that. Back in my Army days and my residency as a family physician, I actually taught others how to do them. I was very good at them. I had my own little rule. You know, he had to have three children, be over 30 years old. That was John's rule. Wow. Never mind God's rule. And it really was meeting an amazing, powerful man through the Catholic Medical Association, who really just died 2 days ago, Dr. Kevin Morrell in Augusta, Georgia. I'll be driving up to his funeral tomorrow. That man, I get teary to think about how that man and others in the Catholic Medical Association looked at me in the eye and said, unless you obey the teaching of the church, you will never be the physician you are called to be. And that obedience preceding understanding is what is not happening in the entire world. Drew, let me also remind you of this. There was a document written in 1968 by a very wise and heroic now saint, Pope Paul VI, who said, when we begin to alter the psychological and physical equilibrium of women,
What great words he chose. The psychological and physical equilibrium of women. Men will begin to view women differently. All right. And when men will begin to see women as objects of sexual gratification. And once you strip away the fertility, that's what happens. And let me get back to informed consent. You know, everyone's talking about reproductive freedom. To my thinking, you can't make a free decision unless the doctor tells you what's going to happen as a result of the procedure you're undergoing, whether it's an abortion or sterilization. And please, listeners, you know, I mean, many of you, probably everyone right now in your audience is aghast at the horrors of abortion, perhaps, but they're not aghast at the horrors of sterilization. They're sitting there not knowing that when they get their tubes tied, I see it day in and day out. Doctors get away with mutilating women now more than ever, as I did with men when I did vasectomies, and with the women especially. How many of them do I see with chronic pelvic pain, bleeding, and then, of course, leading to other procedures such as hysterectomies, all right, and premature ovarian, that they lose their ovaries. I mean, they're just basically shot. Once those ovaries, those fallopian tubes are burned and tied and destroyed, your ovaries check out. And those women no longer are the women they once were. And as Pope Paul VI predicted, you've disrupted their hormonal equilibrium, their physical and their psychological equilibrium.
Hold on that point for a second. I want you to expand on that. What do you mean that a woman who's had, let's say, a tubal ligation like you're talking about, is no longer the woman that she once was? Is it strictly hormonal imbalances? Are there other things? Because I'm sure there's a lot of women. And then we'll talk vasectomies too, but let's talk tubal ligations. It's a very common procedure for a lot of women. How does it change a woman and who she is other than her ability to conceive?
Yeah, this will be argued about, you know, my OBGYN colleagues, many of whom I respect, they do procedures for me, but they will differ with me on this. But the reason they can't is because I see those women long term. I see them undergoing hormonal changes because just as with men, again, once you're not just destroying the tube, the fallopian tube, you're destroying the nerve and the artery and the small vessels and arteries, but small capillaries that still innervate and provide blood supply to the women's ovaries. Hence, I'm sure women who are listening right now who've undergone sterilization would call in if they had a lot of time and start sharing their stories of what happened to them after their sterilizations that they did not anticipate.
Wow.
You know, more than half of the women. So it just disrupts, again, it's called biofeedback, Drew. I mean, you all know about it. And It's just simply the fact that those ovaries go up, you know, you end up communicating with the pituitary and the pituitary says, hey, you guys are useless anymore. Just as with the testicles, when you do the vasectomies that I did so well, How many of those men do I see who ultimately need to go on testosterone replacement? And of course, these women end up in quest of the right kind of bioidentical hormone replacement. But worse yet, they end up with premature hysterectomies or needing to go endometrial ablations, which destroys the lining of the uterus so that they won't have the heavy periods. But I can tell you, it's one thing after another, not to mention the fact, of course, you're destroying the precious gift of fertility, and nobody talks to them about how to use natural methods that we all know, those of us who've been teaching it for so many years, allow my wife and I to have our son when she was 43 years of age.
Wow.
After four daughters, and most couples would have said, hang it up. You know, we finally had our son, Thomas, who's 15 years old.
Wow.
I will get into that another story, raising a teenage boy after four girls, but that's another show.
that's a different world for sure. My guest today, Dr. John Littell. And I'll tell you what, share your story. Maybe you've gone through a vasectomy or a tubal ligation. And you've seen the effects of it, feel free to dial in the number 888-914-9149. Maybe you're thinking about it right now. Maybe you got a question. Dr. Littell is an expert in this field, and it's always good to have him with us. Doctor, we have to take a short pause. So when we come back, we'll take some calls, and we'll talk more. Your number to get in, and I only have a few minutes on the other side of this break because I'm approaching the twilight of the show. Last chance to talk at 888-914-9149. Stay with me. Our conversation continues. Right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. You'll get some real Catholic answers right here.
Prayerfully consider a career where you can blend your faith and profession. Catholic Order of Foresters, our sponsor, is hiring agents in your market now. Go to relevantradio.com/forester. That's relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
He has a microphone, and he knows how to use it. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Taking care of business, working overtime. Taking care of business. Yeah, we're taking care of business here. It's great to be with you today. I was trying to give you a look at life you're not going to find anywhere else. My guest this afternoon, Dr. John Littell. We maybe have another 10 minutes to hang out together. If you're on hold, I'll get you on the air. Dr. Littell is a physician and an author. He wrote a book called The Hidden Truth, Deception in Women's Healthcare. You can find him at johnlittellmd.com, and Littell spelled L-I-T-T-E-L-L. That is a good read. And when I've spoken to Dr. Littell about everything from the HPV vaccine to, like we're talking about today, tubal ligations and vasectomies and the impact of them. Doctor, let's jump right in the phones. We'll take a few calls, and we got a lot to get into. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Kathy's listening in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Kathy.
Hello to the both of you. I had a tubal 21 years ago after my youngest son was born, and I've had a horrible time trying to lose weight.
Oh, man.
Do you think it's part of that?
Well, you know, weight gain happens in many, many, many settings. The hormonal part of that would simply be if you continue, you know, what your reproductive cycles were doing, right? So if you continue to have normal, uninterrupted monthly reproductive cycles, that is the best indicator of whether your hormones are correct, is your normal monthly cycle. And of course, looking at it from the point of view of any of the natural family planning methods. So I couldn't necessarily blame it on that, but certainly you want to look at thyroid issues. You know, I'm sure some doctors looked at that. And of course, you know, you have some great, when your Dr. Sean gets on there every so often, sure. Drew, I listen to him. He does a great job discussing some of the diets. But yeah, I would definitely have your hormones, your follicle stimulating hormone, FSH, and your thyroid, TSH, checked to make sure that there wasn't some disruption of those hormones.
Yeah, that's a fascinating question, really. A lot of women who've had tubal ligations, I wonder if there's weight gain and struggle with that. And, you know, that's also a natural course of the progression of life as a woman gets older. You know, sometimes things change. We've spoken a lot about women. I just want to hit on men. You know, okay, what happens to a man who has a vasectomy? And of course, vasectomies can be reversed. Even some tubal ligations can be. The church is teaching on that. We can talk about that as well. But before we do, the physiological impact of a vasectomy on a man, what's manifesting? And again, this could very, as you point out, be disputed by some of your colleagues. But give me your thoughts.
Well, the reason they dispute it is because they don't provide longitudinal care the way I do in family medicine. So I'm able to see men through the whole life experience, and women for that matter. And, you know, if they come in and they're 54 years old and they have decreased libido, decreased energy, and I'll ask them, I mean, almost point blank, say, when did you have your vasectomy? Mm-hmm. And they'll look at me kind of surprised. Oh, I was 34. You know, and I get a testosterone level, and instead of being between 400 and 1100, it's like 250 or 300. So again, it's a biofeedback mechanism. There's also some evidence out there about prostate cancer incidence in people with vasectomies. That's out of the European literature. You won't find it as much. You won't find anything that goes against contraception or sterilization in American in the owned literature in America. But you can find it in other countries that have a freer approach. And so, you know, even in Finland, for example. So they take a different attack. You won't have. Hey, listen, you know, women have their babies. As you know, C-sections are on the rise, too, in this country.
Oh, yeah.
And that young lady goes in for her second C-section, and every time, 100% of the time, the doctor's going to say, you would like me to tie your tubes, wouldn't you? And the poor lady's, you know, facing this prospect. Well, while I'm in there, it will be nothing. This happens all the time. Yeah. Again, no informed consent, no mentioning what will happen after those tubes are tied to that woman.
Yeah, that's true. A woman's in a very vulnerable situation right there, right? And the doctor says, oh, well, you're open, you know, and I can tie this. It's really quite tragic. You know, for anyone who's had a tubal ligation or a vasectomy and you're Catholic, I would encourage you, if you have not done this yet, go and confess it, okay? Take it to confession for healing as well. I mean, the Catholic Church teaches that both tubal ligations and vasectomies are you know, they're methods of sterilization. They're morally unacceptable. Because they're intended as a means of contraception, but
there are doctors, who, wonderful Catholic, mostly Catholic physicians, who will reverse both tubals and vasectomies. I know onefull.org for the longest time had a listing of those, and it's worth paying the $500 airfare to get a same day procedure to reverse those. Even if you're not considering more babies, it's just something that I believe I know makes you more intact and restores that equilibrium that you're missing.
You know, Doctor, one of the things I think is at play here is lack of education. You know, Pope Paul VI, you quoted his encyclical Humanae Vitae. It's funny you mentioned that. My daughter's writing a paper on it, so I had a long conversation with her about Humanae Vitae. And I'd recommend everybody read it. It's a short encyclical, but it was prescient. It was prophetic. It was forward-viewing. And it's well-read. There's a Paul VI... he highlighted a fundamental principle there that, you know, every marital act must be open to life, right? And here's the deal that contraception, you know, it's intrinsically disordered. We don't know that. People don't know that marriage should be unitive, procreative, and lifelong. They're not taught that. They're not taught about the beauty of the gift and what it's intended to do. How do we better educate people on this? I mean, and I think this is part of the problem because a lot of Catholics go, oh, there's nothing wrong with me getting my tubes tied or my vasectomy. I've had 5 kids or I had 7 kids or I have 3 kids. That was your role, right? How do we clear up this? I mean, how do we educate people? How do we educate our loved ones? When do you draw the line as to whether you should reverse this or not?
Yeah, I it comes back to this primum non nocere, first do no harm as a doctor. You know, I don't really blame, people for, just as with abortion, I blame the medical profession for where it's gone. I totally blame the medical profession in terms of how they train medical students. Even as residents, I was told I would get dinged as an intern if I did not ask every woman after she had her baby and document what her contraceptive method is going to be, and then recommend after 2 babies for sterilization. This is in the 1980s, Drew, and in a military setting. So you would have wondered, you know, what was going on back then? How did this Planned Parenthood population control mentality get so embedded in the medical profession that we're able to kind of just look the other way when we're destroying women and male and men's fertility? And I think we really have just allowed this to happen. We've convinced physicians that they're doing good when they're doing harm. And then people had trusted until COVID, especially, and that's why I address that in my book. People really trusted doctors and hospitals. COVID, I think, took the blinders off of people. And we can go on about that. But we now know you can't trust any doctor, even my good friends, because they, just like me, I thought I was doing the right thing. So I don't always blame the people. They're right. Trusting their doctors. I would just say, don't trust the doctors. Trust your judgment. Obey the teachings of the church. And again, I can't say it enough. Obedience truly does precede understanding. You won't really understand why Pope Paul wrote what he did at a time when the American church rejected him, as you know, Drew, the history of all that. It's a miracle that we were able as a Catholic church to still uphold this teaching about contraception and against sterilization. So, yeah, you know.
Really speaks about the beauty of the church, doesn't it? And the Holy Spirit, how it's at work and how it's at play.
It's so obvious. Yeah.
Doctor, I have maybe 4 or 5 minutes left. I know you're involved in some initiatives as well. We see a lot of these pro-abortion amendments taking place around the country right now. And boy, I've never seen, you know, such division in the country when it comes to this particular issue. What are you involved with right now and what can, you know, fellow citizens do?
Here in Florida, we're beginning to panic. You know, in the next month, in the month of May, we're actually going to outlaw pretty much all abortions, okay, in the state of Florida, because of our fantastic governor who signed a 6-week ban, which effectively eliminates, and since he upheld the 15-week ban, we know it's going to go into effect. But then several months down the road on Election Day, the ballot that'll be on for people to vote is entitled Limiting Government Interference in Abortion. And most, the average person is just going to see limiting government interference. And, you know, if they're libertarian, let's say, or they're totally about anti-government, and yet they might think of themselves as pro-life, but they're going to do whatever it takes to keep the government out of the exam room. Well, of course, I talk about that all the time, keep the government out of the exam room. But no, this amendment is going to allow abortion up to 9 months. The providers they talk about don't even have to be physicians. It's just filled with, there's no parental consent for minors, 12, 13, 14 years old. There's nothing in this law that even remotely helps women and certainly not their babies. So Do No Harm Florida just got formed this week. That's why I'm going to be involved very heavily with that. Another organization, Too Extreme, that was active in Ohio, Michigan's out there. Thank God there's multiple people. The Catholic Church, I hope, will come out of it. And I'm just saying, we have got to fight like heck, because unfortunately, people just don't get that reproductive freedom. You know, as you said at the beginning of the show, does not include killing these babies. And even, I heard a very popular conservative talk radio show, you know, focusing on partial birth abortion, when a lady called in and talked about the horror of seeing that baby that had been mutilated. Now, this is not just 30-week babies. I look at ultrasounds of 10, 11, 12-week babies every day with women's pregnancy centers. And these are beautiful babies in the mother's wombs that are being destroyed each and every day. From the time of conception, we got to protect these babies. So Do No Harm Florida is one organization among many that will be providing information about these amendments. And get the word out, please, in every state. They're trying to undermine the pro-life people big time.
Doctor, thanks. Thanks for all you do. It's always good to talk with you. Your book, The Hidden Truth, Deception in Women's Healthcare. I'm assuming they can get it at your website, johnlatellmd.com.
Please do. It has a lot of interesting stuff, some interviews. If you know how to go to hash marks, there's videos. And there's a meeting in October. We'll talk about it. So many things happening, Drew. Just pray for me. I'll pray for you. Pray to Our Lady and Saint Gianna, as always.
Amen to that. Doctor, thanks for making time for us. Grateful for it. Thank Have a great you. Day, okay? That's Dr. John Littell. Again, his book's called The Hidden Truth. And again, we'll go back to what we're talking about here. The headline that grabbed my attention today was the rise in young adults undergoing permanent sterilization with tubal ligations, vasectomies. If you made the mistake, let's get the confession. All right? If you're a Catholic, go there. Seek God's mercy. It's always there for you. Join Father Rocky tonight for the Rosary Across America. And stay tuned. Cale Clark is coming straight up.